So take us back to October 22nd, 2014. You were in Parliament, obviously on the Hill when it happened. What was that like?
Well, I was sitting in the rotunda, which is just past the front doors to Centre Block, and we had just wrapped up some scrums with ministers because it was caucus day, so all the MPs were in these rooms not far from those front doors. And I sat down on a chair, and I called my editor in Toronto to chat about news coverage of the day after those early scrums, and that's when I heard someone yell "gun," and it didn't process right away. And then I heard a loud boom, and it was so loud it just echoed through the halls, and I could kind of feel it in my chest. And that's when I looked up and saw a number of people who had been standing around in the rotunda area just start to run with panic on their faces. And you know, you start to realize something isn't right, this is not good. And so I got up and I ran to the hallway that was close to my right, which is a main hallway that leads towards the House of Commons and one of the caucus doors for what was then the Conservative government, to the government caucus doors. And I saw a couple of security guards that were there, one of them who was armed, who had his weapon drawn. And I sort of in a split second thought, bad guy behind me, good guy in front of me. I need to get the heck out of the line of fire right now. And there was a stairwell to my left that I ran down, and there was a camera guy or an audio guy from a TV camera crew who was running behind me, and he dove down the steps. He told me afterwards, apparently the security was yelling at us to get down, but I did not hear any of that in the panic of everything. And it was security guards, when we got down those stairs, put us into one of their offices and told us to stay there while we could hear shooting continuing. And I went live as quickly as I could with our radio stations to talk about what I had experienced and what was going on Parliament Hill. And it was a little bit later, when things had calmed down, some of the security guards came into that office to grab first aid kits, and they wouldn't tell me what was happening upstairs, whether the gunman was dead or whether anybody was injured. And it wasn't until throughout the day that we found out what exactly happened. But in those initial moments, there was a lot of information flying around, and nobody knew exactly what was going on. There were reports of, at one point, as many as 5 different shooters roaming through Ottawa around Parliament Hill. That turned out not to be true. This was a lone wolf attack. But in those initial stages, there was a lot of information coming out because a lot of people were calling in the sound of gunfire and the shooting that happened at the National War Memorial before that, with Nathan Cirillo. And so I just based on the amount of calls, there was some misinformation coming in about how many shooters there were. But you know, the panic of everyone, I have to say again as well that the security guards and the RCMP jumped into action right away, and they put Parliament on lockdown and took the shooter down after he had run through the Hall of Honor. It's amazing that this situation wasn't worse. It was a tragic event, and Corporal Nathan Cirillo lost his life, and another security guard was injured with that initial gunfire when Michael C. Half-Bibo walked through the door. But in the end, this shooter ran down the Hall of Honor towards the Library of Parliament, where he had a final shootout with RCMP. If he had turned left or right in the middle of that Hall of Honor run, he would have ran to the doors of the caucus rooms of the NDP or the Conservative government at the time, and things probably could have ended much worse. But he didn't. He ran towards the Library of Parliament, and that's when RCMP and the Sergeant of Arms at the time, Kevin Vickers, ended up firing their guns at him and taking Michael Z. Half-Bibo down.
refresh our memories in case anyone may have forgotten, because, again, it has been a couple of years. Did he know where he was going in the buildings? Did he know that he was heading towards the library or what rooms to maybe target?
It's hard to know what was going through his head or everything that he had remembered, but it did come out in the days that followed that Michael Z. Half-Bibo took a tour of Parliament, a regular public tour, which does take you to those caucus rooms and the committee, which are sometimes set up as committee rooms as well. And you're shown where these things happen on those public tours. He would have gone right through that very area that he ran through on October 22nd, 2014. So it's plausible to believe that he knew what was going on that day and where those rooms were. But, you know, there were security guards around, there was gunfire, and he didn't, in the end, go into those caucus rooms. So he would have known where he was going in a general sense, it's impossible to know exactly what he was thinking at that moment, whether he had planned to go inside those caucus rooms or whether his plans deviated because of the gunfire that erupted inside Center Block. But, in the end, he didn't, and thankfully things were not much worse than they could have been because of that.
And it's incredible, the way that you describe it, it makes it sound like it went on for minutes or hours, and it wasn't. It was very, very quick moments, and this is such chaos.
It was so fast. It happened so fast. I was running and had my recorder recording some of the audio, and in the brief time that I had that audio going, I picked up something like 5 or 6 gunshots in that recording. So, all of this happened so quickly. And even from the National War Memorial shooting, I think, till the point that he died, I think it was only 3 minutes or so, everything happened so fast. But, that also goes to show that there were a lot of people who acted quickly to try and take Michael Z. Half-Bibo down. But there were a lot of issues as well with RCMP and Hill Security that day that came out in the studies that followed. They found that Michael Z. Half-Bibo should not have been able to get on the Hill the way that he did. He ran up after sort of hitting what are called bollards, which were preventing his car from getting up on the Hill. But he ran up, hijacked a minister's car, and then was able to take that car and drive it up to the front doors of Parliament Hill. There was an RCMP car that was stationed to prevent something like that from happening, but there was a failure of the officer at the scene there to block him. And then when he got to the front, there were jurisdictional issues because the RCMP didn't have jurisdiction inside Parliament, only on the outside. So the initial officer that responded did not go inside because they didn't have the jurisdiction. And in a scenario like that, it's hard to believe that an officer wouldn't have gone inside and engaged. Afterwards, of course, the RCMP did go inside, but nonetheless, there were a lot of questions raised about jurisdictional issues, the fact that security and the RCMP on the outside weren't even on the same radio bandwidth. A lot of problems about security on Parliament Hill happened because of this lone wolf attack. And I think every security expert we've spoken to about this scenario say, thank God it wasn't worse, because it very well could have been.
Well, that seems to be the theme in hearing what you're saying, that had he gone one way, the outcome could have been this, and had this had happened, like everything is just barely hanging on by a thread. In the years since, you get to work on Parliament Hill every single day. What's changed?
A lot has changed when it comes to security on Parliament Hill. Now we have the Hill security and the under... Yeah, let me restart that. A lot has changed when it comes to security on Parliament Hill. The most visible thing is that you see a lot more RCMP officers walking around the front lawn area of the Hill, and you see a lot of officers carrying automatic weapons or semi-automatic weapons on the Hill as a security measure. Inside the Parliament buildings, we have what was the Hill security, which was completely separate from the RCMP security on the outside. They're now under RCMP management, and therefore we are seeing, therefore the security guards inside the hill are now all armed. Beforehand, it was only a select few that were armed who could pass the tests to carry a firearm. Not everybody was required to do so. Now everybody who is working security inside Parliament Hill is required to be able to carry a firearm. So a lot has changed in that regard, but at the same time, there were a lot of fears in the initial aftermath that security crackdowns on the Hill would prevent people from accessing Center Block, accessing the institution of our democracy. That has not ended up happening. Public tours do continue. There are a lot of people who roam freely on the front lawn of Parliament Hill and who do get access to those public tours. There have been some security changes, but at the same time, while security has been beefed up, I don't think people's access to the institution of our democracy have really been hampered that much as a result of all of this.
Given what you experienced 3 years ago, and we had, you know, the mosque attack in January, we had the Edmonton terror attack just a couple of weeks ago, yet the terror threat level in this country has not changed since the Parliament Hill attack. Is that something that resonates on Parliament Hill?
Yeah, I think every time there is an attack of some sort on Canadian soil, it's a question that is always asked. Are we raising our terror threat level? Are we doing more to keep Canadians safe? And of course, the ministerial answer is always yes. We are trying to keep the public safe. But there are more and more questions about what we're doing to try and prevent radicalization from happening, trying to prevent these attacks from taking place. Could they have been stopped before they ended up happening? It is a question, especially when you have situations where people are on the radar of law enforcement. And it was something that did pop up when the government, the previous conservative government, had dealt with the Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu attack, which happened just days before the attack on Parliament Hill. It was that attack that first caused the Conservative Justice Minister at the time, Peter McKay, to say, we want to make it easier for police to arrest terror suspects. And that led to discussions about whether or not that should be possible. Of course, that has led to a lot of criticisms as well and other moves by the government. But I think these questions will always pop up every time we have a terror attack. And we're in a unique situation from what we've been in the past when it comes to security, because ISIS is inspiring people to use different methods to attack the Canadian public. And this means that law enforcement and government have to be on their toes more than they probably have been in the past, especially when you see attacks like the one in Edmonton.
Anything else you can add?
On the day it happened, everybody on Parliament Hill was in lockdown, and I think that it really one freaky thing for me, let's just put it this way. One freaky thing for me is that as a journalist, you never think that you're going to be a part of the story. You always figure you're sort of on the outside of the story or in the thick of it, but sort of in your own little reporting bubble, observing what is going on around you, and you don't want to be a part of the story. You want to observe and report and tell the story to the public. But in this case, I was sort of caught in the middle of everything. And, it wasn't until the next day, because everything went on lockdown on Parliament Hill, I had left a bunch of stuff in the rotunda of the center block. And I found my jacket, which actually had a bullet hole through it. I had draped it over a chair, and when I ran, I had left it there. That kind of hit me at the time and was a little shocking to see that a bullet hole was through my jacket. And I didn't even realize it until I think a day or two later, when I thought my cat had ripped my coat. And then upon further inspection, I realized, no, this looks like it could be a bullet hole, and end up being used as evidence by the OPP when they conducted their investigation into the events that happened that day. It's shocking when somebody attacks your institution of democracy like that. And Parliament Hill was never a place I thought that you would expect an attack like that to happen. It was always in the back of my mind, like, maybe this place will be a target. It seems like it would be a target. But you think this is Canada. You think this will probably never happen. But you should be prepared for it to happen. And when it did happen, I think a lot of people weren't prepared, including law enforcement. And I think it was a wake-up call, you know, not just for journalists, not just for those who work on the Hill, but for all of Canada. And that really made a statement when that attack happened. I think years later, there are a lot of people who work on Parliament Hill who don't just dismiss it as a distant possibility anymore. And I think there are a lot of people who realize that this is something that could happen, and this is something that has happened and is a real threat. I will note as well that, you know, sometimes I see staff members who work on Parliament Hill who I know from that day. We were standing around each other. I know a woman who had to hide behind a desk. She was right there when he walked in and fired his gun. She was feet away from where that happened. And now we see each other on the Hill, and we give sort of solemn nods to each other, and we chat, and we talk about things. And for a long time after, I think for the first year and a half to 2 years after it happened, a lot of people who went through that, who were in the general area or saw it all happen, people kind of commiserated with each other. They kind of, in an odd way, bonded over the experience of that. And I know that some people who worked on Parliament Hill had a very tough time dealing with it. Some people had to take a little bit of time off. It was very stressful. It was a frightening experience for a lot of people. So, you know, it didn't just end after the news coverage. For some people who work on the Hill, there were some effects that lasted months, if not years, afterwards.
It's changed your life day to day. Cormac, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time and sort of sharing with everyone what you went through that day. It's only been 3 years, so it's not that long.